live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the mica issue has been raised in the Dáil again today, with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar indicating the report of the expert panel will be discussed at Cabinet before the end of the year. Post-mortem results for the driver of the car involved in the Bunkrana Pier tragedy show he may have been three times over the drink driving limit. Lord Kilclooney's comments that Donegal will be better off as part of the UK have been described as nonsense. And the Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter Committee has expressed disappointment after no members of the Letterkenny Municipal District turned up for a meeting last night. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. First in news, the mica issue has been raised in the Dáil again today, with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar indicating the report of the expert panel will be discussed at Cabinet before the end of the year. The issue was raised by Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue, who stressed the need for progress on a redress scheme. Deputy McConlogue was anxious to know if the Cabinet has been briefed on the report's findings.
Taoiseach, I asked you previously about 2 months ago in relation to the report of the expert panel on defective concrete blocks, which identified that there was 5,000 homes between Donegal and County Mayo affected by defective blocks as a result of mica chemical in those blocks, and those homes in some cases are falling down and crumbling. I asked you if the report had been discussed by Cabinet yet 2 months ago. You indicated at that stage that it hadn't. What I'm asking today, Taoiseach, is has it been discussed since then, and what homeowners are waiting on, and for a year and a half now since the deadline, initial deadline for the report to be published passed, what they're waiting on is a commitment from the government that a funding scheme will be put in place to help remedy those homes in the same way that happened for the pyrite homes previously. And can you give us an update and a commitment today, please, in relation to that?
Sure.
Asking Corlin.
It hasn't been discussed by Cabinet yet. I understand, though, that Minister English hopes to bring it to Cabinet before Christmas.
Alcohol was a factor in the Bunkrana Pier tragedy. The post-mortem of the driver of the car has shown he was three times over the legal limit. Sean Defoe reports from the inquest.
The post-mortem showed Sean McGrathy had a blood alcohol level of more than three times the legal limit when his car entered the water in Bunkrana. Five people died in the tragedy, including three children. The pathologist giving evidence at this inquest said she couldn't say whether or not the alcohol impaired Mr. McGrathy's driving. Louise James lost her partner, two sons, a mother and sister in the incident. At the inquest today, she said she was coming back from a hen party in the UK at the time. She recalled getting a feeling that something wasn't right. She tried to contact her partner and mother, but their phones wouldn't connect. Louise contacted her brother to see if her mammy had come home. Just before she boarded her flight to Belfast, her brother asked if she'd seen social media reports of a car going into the water in Bunkrana, but he had heard it was two men and not her family. After landing in Belfast, she got a call from her brother, who told her to calm down, that Sean was the first to be identified, and that they were all gone. Sean Defoe in Bunkrana.
Talks are to take place aimed at securing the future viability of the post office network. A facilitator has been appointed by the Department of Communications to chair discussions between postmasters and the company management after the government approved a €30 million investment in the network. The communications minister says they need to develop new business opportunities and offer a wider range of services to bring the company back to profitability. It's an issue that has been prominent in Donegal in recent years. Breed Gallagher, Donegal representative of the Irish Postmasters Union, has welcomed the government's announcement and is hopeful the investment will save some post offices.
This is something that we have been following up this few years and trying to lobby the ministers for all through the years, and with the Bobby Kerr talks, etc., going onwards, we now welcome that the minister has invested in Anpost. He has also mentioned new government business and motor tax, which will be coming to post offices, and we also welcome that very much. Hopefully this will save some post offices from closure, but they have also announced that there will be some closures, and I don't think we'll be able to save them all because there are postmasters there who actually want out at this stage, and we will have to support our members in that, though we do not want to see closures and we do not want to see communities without services. But overall, we welcome this new investment, and we have yet to work out how much of that will actually come to the post office network.
And in relation to Donegal, are you hopeful that there will be no closures going forward?
I can't say there will be no closures going forward, because Donegal, like every other county, we have members who have lost a lot of wages recently. They are working below the minimum earnings at the moment and trying to keep a premises. So we have to support them if they wish to go, but any closures will be voluntary closures. There will be no forced closures.
A man has told the Special Criminal Court he just froze and grabbed his daughter when a man opened fire in a Dublin bar in April 2016. He was giving evidence in the trial of Eamon Cumberton, who's accused of murdering Strabon man Michael Barr at the Sunset House pub near Croke Park. Frank Rennie reports.
James Dunn was doing a raffle in the Sunset House pub on April 25th, 2016 and was just getting ready to leave when he said two men came into the bar. He said one stayed at the door and the other walked past him with what appeared to be a 9mm handgun with a silencer. He told the judges the first of three shots he heard hit Michael Barr in the side of the neck as he stood at the bar, and he saw two more being fired after he hit the ground. He said the gunman then ran through the door that was being held open by the other man. After the shots were fired, he said he just froze before grabbing his daughter and running out of the pub. The prosecution believes it can link Eamon Cumberton to the crime scene through some items recovered from the suspected getaway car. The 30-year-old with an address at Mountjoy Square, Dublin 7, denies the charge. Frank Graney, the Special Criminal Court.
Sinn Féin will tonight consider a motion of no confidence in the Taoiseach. Frances Fitzgerald will face another series of questions, this time in the Seanad, about her handling of an email regarding Sergeant Maurice McCabe. Opposition TDs have called into question the timeline of events provided by both Minister Fitzgerald and Leo Varadkar. Sinn Féin's Louise O'Reilly says it's not satisfactory that misinformation has been given to the Dáil, and the party will decide tonight if it will put forward a motion of no confidence.
We're going to consider that this evening. I think the Taoiseach now has had to correct the record twice in the Dáil. I think that's very, very worrying. I doubt if Sinn Féin are the only party that are considering how worrying that is. You know, it's the fact that he has now had to correct the record twice. That's not good. And we will give consideration to that this evening.
Lord Kilcluny's comments that Donegal would be better off as part of the UK have been described as nonsense. John Taylor, now Lord Kilcluny, said yesterday that the county has been forgotten by the Irish government. Former Taoiseach Mary Coughlin was speaking yesterday at the Bank of Ireland's Women in Business event in Letterkenny, where she said while relations between Donegal and Northern Ireland are strong, Donegal very much belongs in the Republic.
Yes, we would have natural boundaries with our colleagues, and from a business point of view with Northern Ireland, and access, for example, through Larne and the two Belfast airports are hugely important to us, and that's why peace in Northern Ireland has developed tourism, for example, and business here in the Northwest. You know, with Intertrade Ireland, we have been able to work and develop better relationships between Northern Ireland and the South of Ireland, particularly ourselves. So, look, that's only nonsense. We are where we are. We are in the Republic of Ireland. That's we want to stay.
The Letterkenny Cathedral Quarter Committee has expressed disappointment after no members of the Letterkenny Municipal District turned up for a meeting in Dillon's Hotel last night. All 10 members were invited. Two of them, Councillors Michael McBride and John O'Donnell, sent apologies, and Cathedral Quarter Coordinator Donan Harvey says he understands a number were at a HSE meeting in Galway. He's hoping to reschedule the meeting, saying it's an important issue.
The reason that we called the meeting was that we, previous to this, we had a meeting with the roads engineers and about these improvement works that will be going, coming forward in the future. And we just wanted to highlight, you know, that the Church Lane or the Cathedral Quarter area, that it'd be kind of treated almost distinctively, and we're looking at signage and footpaths and things, various things that we wanted, you know, to be unique to the area. And so we wanted to highlight the importance of that there to the municipal members, but we also wanted to show, you know, the progress, you know, the plans that we have, like, and then to raise awareness, like, not all the councillors are from the Letterkenny town area, and to show that this project will not only have benefits for Letterkenny but for the whole of the Northwest region.
A cross-border initiative has been launched to establish a number of cross-border community health and wellbeing hubs in Donegal, Cavan, Monaghan, Derry, Fermanagh, Tyrone, Armagh and Scotland. A tender has been issued inviting community groups and other organisations to bid for funding to establish 8 hubs in total. The EU-backed project is being coordinated by Cooperation and Working Together, which says it will help communities become more active in improving their own health and well-being. Anne McAteer is a Health Promotion Officer with the HSE in Donegal.
This is a very important initiative for communities in that it is seeking to enable communities to improve the health and well-being of the people living within those areas, as well as the 2 sites in Donegal and the 3rd in Cavan Monaghan. We have 2 cross-border in the Western Trust, 1 in the Southern Trust, and then, interestingly, this time we have 2 across in Scotland, in Dumfries and Galloway. So it's an opportunity to put a little bit of funding the way of community groups or other organisations to actually look at resources within their areas and to identify the needs within those areas to promote better health and well-being of the community.
Now, you're looking at community groups and other organisations to consider applying for this money. They have pretty much a month to do so until the 21st of next month.
That's right. And because they're targeting 5 different areas, physical activity, healthy eating, smoking cessation, alcohol misuse and mental health, it's an opportunity maybe for diverse groups to come together and form a consortium to make a single bid for this funding. And I suppose, again, you know, we know that from the old Irish saying, that there's strength in that unity. I think that there's a real opportunity here for people to work together and to actually make a bid that will be very strong.
Highland Sport is sponsored by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny, where the big Black Friday sale is on this Friday from 9 to 12.
And it's 5:15, time to latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. I'm starting with soccer, and David Luiz is back in the Chelsea starting 11 for the Champions League meeting with Quarabag. That game kicked off at 5 o'clock. There's about 10 minutes gone. That one's still scoreless. A one for Chelsea would see them secure a last 16 spot with a game to spare. And Manchester United boss Jose Mourinho hopes the pitch will be fine for tonight's Champions League game at Basel. United could be qualified for the last 16 by kickoff if CSKA Moscow fail to beat Benfica. If not, a draw would seal top spot in the group. The pitch has been replaced since Northern Ireland's playoff in Switzerland. Mourinho says they've played in worse.
Last season we had to cope with Rostov, and I don't think it's comparable. So hopefully everything goes well.
And Celtic, they face one of the toughest possible Champions League away trips later on. They're at Paris Saint-Germain, one of the favourites for this year's trophy. Neymar, Edison, Cavani and Kylian Mbappe, they're again expected to start up front. Celtic keeper Craig Gordon says they need to be realistic tonight, judging by the trio's performance in PSG's 5-0 win in Glasgow in September.
Been lucky enough in my career to come up against most of the best strikers in the world at some point. That was up there with the best I've seen. We can't get away from the fact that they were that good.
Kickoff and that one's also 7:45. And elsewhere, Liverpool, they're investigating alleged violent policing at their Champions League game with Sevilla. Some supporters have complained about being punched by police and stewards. Videos posted on social media appear to show some fans being denied entry to the stadium. Liverpool say they received detailed accounts and are now looking to establish the facts of what's a very troubling incident. On the field in the Championship tonight, Wolves can extend their lead at the top of the Championship with a win at home to Leeds. Elsewhere, Mick McCarthy's Ipswich, they welcome Sheffield Wednesday to Portman Road, and Middlesbrough, they face struggling Birmingham. Well, Everton striker Umar Nias will be banned for 2 matches after his appeal against the suspension for diving was rejected. He's the first Premier League player to be retrospectively punished for simulation. Nias went down to win a penalty in Saturday's 2-2 draw at Crystal Palace, which was scored by Leighton Baines. Here's their interim boss, David Unsworth.
I saw there was contact. The referee was there, saw there was contact. Umar said there was contact. Contact or slight contact, it doesn't matter. There was contact. And, we're all bitterly disappointed with what we've heard.
Meanwhile, Everton have been fined €30,000 after a supporter tried to hit a Lyon player during their Europa League defeat to the French club last month. Goodison bosses have already banned the fan for life. Here at home in the League of Ireland, Simon Madden has not had his contract renewed at Shamrock Rovers. The right back had just completed the fourth season of his spell at the Tallaght Stadium. And in colleges soccer today in Division 1, match day 4, IT Sligo defeated the LYIT. The final scoreline was there, IT Sligo 6, LYIT 2. Gaelic Games Mayo defender Lee Keegan has shot down rumours he's suffering from a serious illness. The 2016 Footballer of the Year will likely miss most of Mayo's league campaign after surgery on each of his hips, which will require 4 to 5 months of rehab. But rumours began to circulate that Keegan had MS. Keegan says his family were upset by the rumours, which led to him setting the record straight. In boxing, Conor Coyle was victorious once again in Florida last night as the Derry middleweight improved his professional record. Coyle had a unanimous win over Calvin Metcalf at the local Coliseum venue on the Premier Boxing Champions card. It was a first eight-rounder for Coyle, who has now taken his seventh win in 7 pro fights. The 27-year-old, who was a bronze medal winner at the 2014 Commonwealth Games, was due to meet Quinton Willis, but he pulled out of the fight after allegedly googling Coyle. In snooker, Kian Doherty is through to round 3 of the Northern Ireland Snooker Open. He's beaten China's Niu Zhang by 4-1. In this evening's session, Mark Allen also faces Chinese opposition. He's up against Tiang Feng Pei. In rugby, Ireland scrum coach Greg Feek has backed Ronan O'Gara to be a success at Crusaders. Racing 92 have announced the Corkman will leave Paris next month to become an assistant coach at the reigning Super Rugby champions in New Zealand. Former prop Feek made 63 appearances for Crusaders, winning 4 titles in 5 years, and believes O'Gara will fit like a hand in a glove. Finally, this evening in golf, the 2018 European Tour golf season gets underway later tonight. Less than a week on from finishing top of last year's money list, England's Tommy Fleetwood, he'll tee it up at Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Open. Olympic gold medalist Justin Rose and US Masters champion Sergio Garcia, the men he just pipped in Dubai, are also in the field. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Over €50,000 in funding is being made available for a Gaelic football pitch development in West Donegal. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh has sanctioned €50,050 to help finance a €70,000 spent on fencing and access to the new Narossa pitch in Guibara. Minister McHugh says he visited the pitch earlier this year to see for himself the incredible work already undertaken by the club. He says it is a welcome development for the club.
Pobl Guibara have been working really, really hard over the years and developing a new pitch, and it was during the time that the work was ongoing at the Guibara Benz as well, so I know they had a good working relationship with the contractor, and at the same time they ploughed ahead with great work, and I'm delighted that through the Department of the Gaeltacht that there's going to be money available now to further develop it, looking at the overall surface and looking at fencing, and I know they've big plans, but I just want to acknowledge the group themselves for their tremendous commitment, obviously, to their area, and furthermore their drive to be part of the Planal Changa as well, like to ensure that the Irish language is at the heart of all the work that goes on in that community. But in order for them to continue with the work, it's important that we help resource them as well. So I'm delighted that this has happened.
Derry-based technology firm Meta Compliance has announced a 3-year expansion plan with 69 new jobs being created. The company develops software and creative content for the cybersecurity sector and is aiming to triple its turnover by capitalising on the demand for cloud-based cybersecurity products. The expansion is being backed by Invest NI. Catherine Gaffney has more details.
Meta Compliance is one of Northern Ireland's most innovative technology companies with a long-standing commitment to the Northwest. That's according to Jeremy Fitch of InvestNI, who says the agency has offered £652,000 towards the creation of the new jobs. He says the investment will support its global ambitions and create valuable employment opportunities in the Derry and Strabane District Council area. Robert O'Brien is Chief Executive of Meta Compliance. He says the company is implementing ambitious plans to double the workforce and triple turnover. The recruitment drive will see Meta Compliance's workforce reach 102 by 2019. 29 of the new posts are already available, and the company will be holding a recruitment day in Derry City Hotel on Friday next, December the 1st.
Churches and state buildings here and in the UK are being lit up today as part of a campaign to highlight religious intolerance. Derry, Waterford, Sligo and Armagh cathedrals are taking part in the hashtag Red Wednesday initiative, as well as Knock Basilica. In the UK, the Houses of Parliament and the Palace of Westminster are among dozens of public buildings which will be brightly illuminated. It's the brainchild of two organisations which advocate for Christians around the world. John Newton from Aid the Church in Need says it's a chance to show solidarity.
Around the world, members of various faiths are persecuted because of their beliefs. They suffer rape, they suffer torture, they're killed because of what they believe. People may have seen the situation of the Rohingya Muslims, for example, over in Myanmar. But the Christians in Iraq, along with the Yazidis and Mandeans, and they've suffered extreme persecution by extremist groups because of their faith.
And for weather now, tonight the rain will clear and it will be cold with showers developing. The showers will be heavy at times overnight with hail, with a risk of hail and thunder. Lowest temperatures of 0 to 2 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the mica issue has been raised in the Dáil today again, with Taoiseach Leo Varadkar indicating the report of the expert panel will be discussed at Cabinet before the end of the year. The issue was raised by Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue, who stressed the need for progress on a redress scheme. Alcohol was a factor in the Buncrana Pier tragedy. The post-mortem of the driver of the car has shown he was three times over the legal limit. Sinn Féin will tonight consider a motion of no confidence in the Taoiseach. Frances Fitzgerald will face another series of questions, this time in the Seanad, about her handling of an email regarding Sergeant Maurice McCabe. And Lord Kilcluny's comments that Donegal would be better off as part of the UK have been described as nonsense. John Taylor, now Lord Kilcluny, said yesterday that the county has been forgotten by the Irish government. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, you can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 22nd of November. The death has occurred of Bridget McGinty in Bristol, England, formerly of Thompson, Tonduff, Clohan, Donegal. Her remains will repose at Marley's Funeral Home, Drummoney, Letterkenny, from 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon until removal at 5 o'clock to Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Glenfinn, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in Kiltivogue Cemetery. The death has taken place at Altmagavan Hospital of Mary Young, Ney Rudden, 9 Ballynagard Crescent, Coolmore Road, formerly of Tully, Mallon Head. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 20 past 9, going to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Thornhill, Derry, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Muff. The death has taken place at her home of Ethne Hodgson, née Hannon, 408 Victoria Road, Ballymagorry, and formerly of Sligo. Her remains will repose at her home from 7:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Friday afternoon at 1:15 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place at Woodmount Nursing Home, Strabane, of Annette Canning McGarrigal, late of Mulvey House, Strabane, formerly of Ballindrate. Her remains are reposing at her brother Liam Canning's home at 8 Laurel Drive, Strabane. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 25 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Patrick's Cemetery, Murlock, Lifford. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.